Canucks Central Friday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio. Canucks Central is for Ensign Pacific, Vancouver's premier Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, and Jeep superstore on 2nd Avenue between Canby and Main, or at ensignpacificchrysler.ca. The weather is impeccable, and we are 51 hours away from puck drop between the Canucks and Predators in Game 1 of the Stanley Cup playoffs, Sat.
It's playoff weather. Like, legitimately, it's playoff weather, because playoffs happen in spring when the weather gets better, when we finally have a Canucks playoff to talk about in the spring. Isn't that grand?
It's pretty great. Now, Sunday, I don't know, the weather forecast might be a little bit different, more spring-like from what we're used to. April showers may be in the forecast, but nonetheless, it's a good time of year. It's the best time of year. It's time for the Stanley Cup playoffs to kick off. We got a busy first hour. We're going to really go into the Canucks and Predators matchup and also take a look at the other seven series that are about to kick off, with two games going tomorrow on Saturday to get the party started. All right, let's get to it. It's the Open.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
The Canucks and Predators, we are getting ready for this one, and everybody's starting to have their takes and throw out their predictions. We'll give you ours, but first a little bit of the tale of the tape and what to expect in this series between these two clubs. But I do want to start with something that Elliot Friedman mentioned on the Jeff Merrick show today, Sad, as I guess maybe a bit of a caution flag was sent out by Friedman when he mentioned Vancouver's got some injuries. They're a little bit banged up here as the series is about to begin. So what do we make of this from Elliot Friedman?
Well, it's one of the things where, obviously, it's a concern, but every single team, and I think Elliot mentioned this too, they're all going through some level of, hey, guys are a little bit banged up. But it's clear Brock Besser, who we talked about the other night, has some sort of an ailment that almost kept him out of a game before the final game against the Winnipeg Jets last night. So there's something going on that's a bit deeper there. The question is, the other guys who sat out game, yep, which was Philip Hronek, JT Miller. You're hoping JT's okay. I wouldn't be surprised if Hronek is dealing with something. I think we spoke to Irv about that too, that there might be something he's dealing with. The good thing is, none of those injuries were bad enough to keep those guys out of games outside of the last game of the season, but it's something to keep an eye on track as the postseason goes on. Can they get to full strength, or are they going to have to play hobbled for the rest of the way?
Yeah, you only get more hobbled as it goes along. Sometimes yeah. The Stanley Cup playoffs is a little bit of last man standing. We saw that somewhat last year when Florida was just battered, beaten, and bruised by the time they got to the Stanley Cup final, and it was a cakewalk for the Vegas Golden Knights in that final. But that's the reality of the situation. Everybody is going to go through it a little bit, and your pain tolerance, how you're able to still execute through that pain, through whatever injuries you have, is ultimately what's going to decide a series. And the Canucks are very much the favorite in this series, right? It's very obvious. We talked about this yesterday on the roundtable, and the more you look around and see how other people are feeling about this series, yeah, the Canucks are favored. There's not too many people picking the Nashville Predators on this side, and you know, that puts the Canucks in a bit of a different spot than they've been in for much of this year, Sat, where the Canucks are the favorites and not the underdog punching above their weight. Now that script is flipped, and it's the Canucks that are the favorite, and it's Nashville playing the underdog role.
Yeah, and it's interesting because when you look around, a lot of the prognosticators and people get handicapping a lot of these series, well, the common theme you're getting is Vancouver is being faded somewhat, right? We'll get into this a bit more later, but, and also a lot of people are picking Nashville to upset Vancouver, but it is the one or two series in which the Canucks will be favored in the first round. And I do think that's somewhat disrespectful to the season they've had, but at the same time, there's past history that comes into this. But I do think it's fascinating that the discussion outside of Vancouver, where people are very excited and think the Canucks are going to win, is that people are very primed to pick the Predators to upset the Vancouver Canucks heading into this series.
Yeah, and I, look, I've looked at this a lot of different ways, and just to be upfront about it before we even get to our series prediction, I found it really hard, and maybe I'm a little bit biased. Maybe I've watched the Canucks too closely and I've really liked a lot of what they've done this year, but I found it hard to find ways to pick Nashville. Like I was more, I found myself asking, how does Nashville win this series? You know, what do they have to do to pull the upset? Because I look at the forward group in totality, I like Vancouver's more than I like Nashville's. On defense, I mean, Hughes and Josi call it a wash, but beyond that, I still like the Canucks decor over the Nashville Predators. And in goal, like, there's no question Thatcher Demko has been better than Juuse Saros, who by his standards has had a bit of a down year and has been closer to average than he has been an elite goalie over the course of the 82 games this season. So the more I looked at it, that was my question to myself, Sat. How do the Nashville Predators win this series? And, you know, it kind of comes down to the old tale of it's got to be hockey. You got to get a little bit of puck luck. They have their power play run hot for a little bit. Saros starts to make some saves and has a really big series. All of these are realistic outcomes, but that's the way it feels Nashville's going to have to play or have to have some luck go their way to win this series over the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, and I mean, you need some luck, of course. I mean, going deep into playoffs, winning a round, obviously you need some things to go your way. The other thing for me is if Vancouver just can't score. I think the great equalizer for Nashville would be if the Canucks struggle to score 5-on-5. And they, for the totality of the season, have done a fantastic job scoring 5-on-5. The struggle has been a bit more pronounced, I'd say, since the All-Star break. They've generated more chances, but their actual goals per 60 have gone down since the All-Star break. That, to me, is the key for Nashville being in the series, is it is a low-scoring series, and the Canucks struggle to score three goals a game. And that's what would give... And I want to say Nashville the edge, but that would really give them a chance to win this series.
Yeah. 5-on-5 scoring is an interesting one. So, look, the two teams, they played each other a lot early in the season. Well, all three games came by the time December rolled around. So, yeah. And Canucks won all three of them. Nashville didn't really get into their hot streak until post-All-Star break, the U2 thing that happened, and they went on their 18-game point streak, 16-0-2. And then, you know, the end of the season after that, when they were pretty much clinched after that long run of success, you know, they started to level out a little bit. But post-All-Star break, Nashville 21-7-3, third best point percentage in the league. They had 115 goals for, which was fifth in the league, and just 88 goals against, which was sixth best in the league. As for Vancouver, they had 93 goals for, which was 25th, and 96 goals against, which was middle of the pack, 13th best in the league. So that's where, you know, if you want to be pessimistic about where things are going and, hey, what have you done for me lately, then you would say Nashville has the edge in this. And it depends on, look, I know the Canucks can go cold offensively. I know not everyone loves the way that they generate offense at 5-on-5, but they were able to do it for much of the early part of the season. And as the season went on, by the underlying metrics, they started to generate more chances, but scored less at 5-on-5. So it really depends on how you want to look at this and feel about it. But I do think Vancouver has more to give offensively than what their results show recently.
I would totally agree with that. And I do think they've generated a bit more quality chances than they're getting credit for since the All-Star break. It's just it hasn't quite gone in as much. Now, especially the last few games, they have done a better job of scoring a little bit, right? It's kind of come along. A lot of it comes back again to number 40, Elias Pettersson. Can he find that gear again? Because JT's been productive all year. The last five games here, you're seeing production come from Elias Lindholm. He's on a three-game point streak. He's picked up 5 points in his last six games. He looks to be getting going a little bit. So if you look at outside their first line, where it's Forsberg, Nyquist, and Ryan O'Reilly, Hey, you want to say that line is going to play at a high level so it can match, you know, the top line with JT? Okay, sure. But there's no way that the second line the Canucks have that includes Pettersson and Hoglander, should be outproduced by Tommy Novak, and Jason Zucker and Luke Evangelista. I mean, I like Novak. We talked about him. I like Evangelista too, but they should not be outproducing that line. And then Bevilier, Sissons, and Glass, or Jankowski, whoever ends up playing on the right wing there alongside Sissons and Bevilier, are they really going to be outscoring Lindholm, Garland, and Joshua with how they played? I mean, it might happen, of course, but if you're projecting and trying to match them up head-to-head, I like that line better. And the fourth line, that's where Nashville would have the edge, I suppose, to some degree. McCarron, Smith, and Sherwood. But it's not like Teddy Bluger hasn't scored almost 30 points. It's not like Sam Lafferty doesn't have a career high in goals with 13. And that's kind of the same type of production that fourth line has. So if you match up their lines, even with the Canucks have had some struggles offensively, they have the edge in the forward group. Again, having the edge doesn't mean you'll win the series or it's going to turn out for you. But if you're projecting and comparing the two, there's no question the Canucks forward group is significantly deeper.
There is, I'm surprised none of our texters brought this up. What about the revenge game narrative? Anthony Beauvillier goes off and has a series for the Nashville Predators. I don't know if I see it happening. but we'll see. You know, he did a couple of years ago, scored a couple of big goals for the New York Islanders in an Eastern Conference final against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So he has had playoff success in the past. Wanted to throw out that storyline. But you're right. Like, there isn't a lot about this forward group on paper that does worry you. And it's not so much about what they are on paper that I think is what's impressive about Nashville. It's more how they execute as a team, right? They found their mojo after the U2 concert was taken away from them. They got grounded and they were disciplined, and all of a sudden they picked themselves up and said, okay, no more of this. We want to have a good summer and we want to have a good spring. So let's figure this out. And they did. And they started to play Andrew Brunette hockey, which is super north-south. They really transition the puck quickly. If you get over-aggressive on the forecheck and are unable to turn over pucks in the offensive zone, if you're Vancouver, Nashville's going to try and really put it back on you the other way. So if you get caught three men below the puck, you could be in trouble and have some odd man rushes going back the other way, because they do transition defense into offense very quickly. Now, that's the kind of thing where it can go both ways. I think this is a huge key for the series for me, is how the Canucks deal with Nashville's transition offense. If they're able to create some turnovers and play, be able to make it a problem for Nashville that they like to add a man into the rush, you know, create turnovers and then turn it back the other way. This is something the Canucks were very good at for much of this season. They didn't get a ton of rush chances, but when they did, they converted on a lot of them. And Nashville, what they do is they try to add men into the rush, especially when Yossi's on the ice. They'll add him into the rush, get a fourth man in, and really try to create a numbers advantage going back the other way. But if you can create or get some turnovers through the neutral zone or however, then you could put Nashville on their heels going back the other way. And I think that's a huge key to this series, is can you use Nashville's speed or want to have speed in transition against them and use it as something that could be an advantage for you? And that's going to come down to how the Canucks play their team defense, which has been their best value all season long.
And as good as Nashville has been for the totality of the season, and if you look again, I think some of their public data metrics are misleading, and we spoke to Kevin Woodley about this the other day, about when they dig into Clear Sight's analytics and where they are in terms of those numbers, they're very much middle of the pack, very mid-table as far as all the things that they do well. But then the issue oftentimes ends up being, you look at the public data and they're one of the top 10 teams in some of these differentials. So you're like, man, this is probably a very good team. But even through those analytics and everything, they still give up a fair amount of high danger chances per 60 minutes. And I do think one thing they have done ever since they got on the run, I wouldn't say they've thrown caution to the wind necessarily, where they don't care at all, but they will take some chances to generate some rush opportunities, and they're not going to be afraid of going for some 50-50s at times to try to create some opportunities for themselves. They played carefree hockey. hockey, essentially, right? Where they're stout defensively for the most part, but they were willing to take some risks. If that risk aversion comes in at the playoffs, then their chance generation is going to come down, which makes them better defensively, but they're going to generate less. But if they're going to be playing as aggressive as they have during their win streak, that might play into Vancouver's hands as well. Like, if they're trying to push and trying to create odd man chances and the Canucks play well through the neutral zone, create some turnovers, they can be the team that takes advantage of a team being overly aggressive.
Yeah, that's can Vancouver slow down Nashville's transition offense? I think that's a big key for the Canucks in this series. And the other part about Nashville that has been red hot during their big streak towards the end of the season here is the power play. Second best by percentage in the league since the All-Star break, running at a 27% clip. And the Canucks, I mean, they finished the year just under 78% on the PK. I liked what we saw towards the end here. These last couple of games, the PK looked pretty strong after they got Lindholm back in there. So, you know, there is some positives here for Vancouver as far as the penalty kill goes, but we know this team was undisciplined, called out by their coach on a couple of occasions here in post-All-Star break. Living, Rick Tocchet did not love the stick penalties and these things that the Canucks were getting themselves into. Staying out of the box is a major key. I mean, it's the most cliche thing of all time, but I think with the way Nashville's power play is going and how Vancouver's power play has been up and down, to be positive about it, it's, you know, that could be an area where Nashville has a little bit more success in this series, and special teams can always be something that tilts a series in one team's favor.
Yeah, they've been better on the power play, but their PK is very, very average. And the Canucks' PK is stronger than the Nashville Predators' PK on the season. The Canucks ended a campaign, I think it was 17th in the league. Yeah, 17th in PK efficiency, coming at 79.1%, which is leagues better than where they were last year, where they had the dead last power play clicking at just at about 70%. They were under 60% even for much of the season last year, so it's taken a big step forward. But the Preds finished 22nd, 76%. 0.9%. So neither PK is overly formidable in this series.
No. And I just wonder, you know, Lindholm scored the power play goal last night in the rather meaningless game between the Canucks and Winnipeg Jets, but you hope that maybe he gets some confidence going. I don't think he'll be a fixture on power play one starting in this playoff series, but like, do we have more confidence in the Canucks power play with the way they finished in the last couple of weeks? They were at least generating more opportunities. Looked like they got back to some of the things that saw them be a success earlier in the season, but it still generally wasn't as dangerous as what we saw in October and November.
No, not at all. And I think it's gotten better, like you said. They have the moments where it's shown a little bit of progress, but we're still waiting for it to truly arrive. And right now they've had Garland on the first unit. Is it going to be Lindholm ultimately when the playoffs do begin? Is he going to get, you know, on the power play a bit more? That's going to be the question. Can they really round into form on their man advantage in the playoffs? And that's kind of what we're, best case scenario, kind of hoping for. And now the Canucks have been formidable enough offensively this year, 5-on-5, even scoring shorthanded, that it's not like they can find other ways to generate offense. But it's going to be hard to go deep in the playoffs unless your power play is one of the top power plays in the postseason.
Yeah, you got to have it going. And I know there's a lot of people that think the whistles go away in the playoffs. I think it is very much situational.
Yeah.
Late in third periods, overtime, yes, whistles do tend to go away in those spots. But actually, if you run the numbers on it, and I don't have them ready with me right now, but I know I've seen it when people have looked into this, penalties actually go up in the first round of the playoffs compared to what they were in the regular season. So, and talking to some refs, former refs, about this, there's no like mandate or anything, but it's kind of like we see at the beginning of every single regular season. They crack down, they try to, you know, maybe overcall, call some softies, make sure guys stay in line early in the playoffs. And then as the playoffs go on, the whistles gradually go more and more away. And in a referee's mind, you know, guys sort of learn what they can get away with and what they won't get away with. as the playoffs go along, so that's why the whistles go away. Yeah. But don't expect that there's no penalties called here early in the postseason. I don't think that'll be the case.
And usually the first round is the most energetic round. Like, every team is just playing with so much fire and brimstone. I mean, you know, the first, like, 5 minutes of a game are just insane, and then the ebbs and flows are really heavy each game, and the physicality ramps up, and I find almost the first series, everyone's just getting all that energy out, so I think that leads to more infractions, more penalties and stuff like that, and things settle down. I mean, everybody starts getting injured, banged up, it's a lot harder to go through the playoffs, so it does tail down a bit, but you're right, in the first round especially is where your special teams are going to be relied on more heavily, most likely. So you have to be ready for it. And, you know, I know people are asking us to, before we get to our ultimate predictions here, is like from the Nashville side of things, like what are they looking at? And I think a lot of it comes down to can they use their speed against Vancouver? Vancouver mm-hmm. can play fast. They're not the fastest team. Can they get the Canucks out of their structure and get them going back and forth and run and gun a little bit? That's something that I think they would like to see happen. So their speed advantage would be a true advantage in their matchup. If the Canucks can stay within their structure and not let it become a run and gun north-south game, they should be able to be in control of it. And the other thing, and I mentioned this to Bick on the post-game show last night, is the Canucks just can't shoot themselves in the foot. And his response, and I think it's a good one, is, hey, I don't care who you're playing, you can't shoot yourself in the foot in the playoffs. That's true, but it's especially more so against an opponent that you're better than. You can't just give them cheapies and freebies, especially if they play tight, overall conservative hockey, if they do kind of shift towards that in the playoffs. So no more too many men penalties. I see people texting that back in. The Canucks have been one of the worst teams in the league. It was 40 games ago. Rick Tocchet had called out the team and said, we met our quota for the entire season. I don't want to see any more. And they've doubled them since then. And they had a couple the other night as well against Winnipeg. They just can't be giving away cheap penalties in the postseason. You just simply can't be doing that.
Yeah. And Nashville, like their focus is going to have to be limiting Quinn Hughes, right? Like, I think that is such a big part of the series. Like, who wins the minutes when Josi and Hughes isn't on the ice? And for Nashville, how much can you limit Quinn Hughes? How much can you limit his effectiveness? Now, it's very difficult, but we're going to see how hard they try to play against Quinn Hughes. And, you know, maybe they take the odd penalty, but they're gonna make life difficult as difficult as they possibly can for Quinn Hughes. Because I know... And I appreciate the way the Canucks built out the rest of their defense. And part of it was with a mind toward the playoffs. Like, hey, if we have size and a little bit of mobility, that's going to help us in the playoffs. And I actually like what Tyler Myers did in the bubble playoffs. So we'll see if he amps up his game and his physicality in this series. But for Nashville, we have to win the minutes when Quinn Hughes isn't on the ice. Like, we have to take advantage of the rest of the Canucks' decor when we have those opportunities. And ultimately, I think any team that plays Vancouver sees that as their biggest weakness.
Yeah, I would be inclined to kind of agree with you on that one, too.
Yeah, so that is, first and foremost, I think what Nashville is going to be targeting against the Vancouver Canucks. All right. Let's get to predictions here for the series, Sat. How are
Let's
you
do it.
Feeling about the Canucks' chances in this round against the Nashville Predators?
Moderation is for cowards, so I'm going big. I'm going Canucks in five. I don't want to do the Canucks in six or maybe seven and hedge a little bit just because you want to give respect to the opponent. Canucks should win this series. I got them winning it in five.
Five. Okay. I like the boldness of it. They win it on home ice in five games. I think it's going to take them a little bit longer. I have a little bit of doubt about this game one here. I think Nashville might get a leg up early in the series. So I think six games is more likely for me. But, you know, this is one of the few series in the first round where I would consider it a pretty major upset if the favorite doesn't win.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. And I do think in general, too, if you look at the matchups, it might be hard to pull out some throughout the playoffs. It's hard to kind of come up with some of the upsets unless you see something there. And there's always going to be upsets. There's never a playoff where all eight favorites win. Now, maybe it's happened, but I can't think of recent history where in the first round, all eight favorite teams won. So you are going to see an upset or two. Yeah, of course, Nashville can win. It can happen. And I think what you just mentioned, game one. So to me, the way Nashville would get a foothold in this series is if the Canucks are a bit banged up, they're a bit fatigued, the coach seems worried about game one, they haven't had enough time, they steal game one, and this ends up being a long series. To me, the key to Nashville being able to push this one is stealing one game, one of the first two games, and especially that first game. Like, I don't know if they're going to win game two, Nashville. To me, game one is the one that they have to steal if they want to make this a long series.
So that is the selections. Sat's got the Canucks in five. I've got the Canucks in six. Josh, do you have a pick here? Or
yeah, I put it out on Twitter, but I'm also on the Canucks in five train.
All right.
I just feel like they're going to outmatch the Predators.
Both of you are less bullish on the Canucks in this series than EA Sports is. the local product, the homers that they are, have picked the Canucks to go all the way and win the Stanley Cup over the Boston Bruins. But also, they have the Canucks sweeping away the Nashville Predators in the first round. So, yes, NHL 24 simulated the Stanley Cup playoffs, Canucks winning over the Bruins. In a rematch of the 2011 Stanley Cup Final. And, of course, they have a sweep for the Canucks over the Nashville Predators. I know some of our listeners were asking, so that's why I did want to point it out. Quickly on the Canucks Central Roundup, John Shorthouse and Dave Tomlinson to call the Canucks Round 1 series. I heard Shorty on the morning show today. I can't believe it's his first series calling Canucks on television. I guess it usually goes to the folks in Toronto, and that's why it hasn't happened.
Yeah, and you know, before Jim Houston used to call a lot of games too, a legend in these parts, and the Canucks have just not been a relevant team. I mean, Shorty's called playoff games, but the Canucks just haven't made the playoffs the past 9 years. Last time they did was 2015, so there haven't been a ton of opportunities. And the bubble playoffs were a lot different because they only had a couple broadcast crews doing all the games, you know, set up in Toronto and in Edmonton with how that was set up last time around. So it was really different and strange at the time the Canucks made the postseason, so we're all hyped to hear Shorty call a playoff game for real on TV.
Canucks given a 6% chance to win the Cup at the Athletic. That's by Dom's model, so pretty good. I think they were sixth best by that estimation, which is pretty strong compared to, sort of in line with how we feel about the team, right? Like there's a few very clear contenders, and the Canucks kind of end up in that second tier of contender.
The most promising thing about that is the Canucks have outperformed Dom's model this year. And Quinn Hughes also outperformed the projections they had as well. So if you want to, if you can look at that very positively, you're right. It's not a bad one. 6%, it shows that they're still considered one of the top contenders. But if you think that they're underselling the Canucks, you have recent evidence to point to.
Also, the Athletic did a poll of some executives, and they're not quite as bullish on the Canucks as maybe some others are. This executive saying, anonymous, of course, getting Nashville does help the Canucks. I think they get the right matchup for the first round, but I don't see them winning more than a round. The first year in the playoffs is just hard. This is how I look at it. Do you like Vancouver as a favorite against Dallas? No. Do you like Vancouver as a favorite against Winnipeg? Probably not. Do you like Vancouver as a favorite against Vegas? No. Do you like Vancouver as a favorite against Edmonton? Well, the goalie difference makes it pretty even, but I like McDavid and Draisaitl and think they find a way. And this one, do you like Vancouver against LA? The Kings are as flawed a team as there is, and I'm not sure I like Vancouver against LA. I don't think Vancouver's a clear favorite against anybody but Nashville. I'm not a believer yet. Shots fired.
Hey, that's fine. Listen, the Canucks haven't earned the benefit of doubt in terms of having years of success, right?
Yeah.
It's been failure to launch year after year. And we talked about how some players around the league aren't sold on the Canucks. So are you surprised some executives aren't sold? Hey, listen, I think EA Sports has a better grasp of things than these guys do anyways.
So that's it for the Canucks Central Roundup. We'll get to more of your texts and start to preview the rest of the series coming up as we get to round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. JanPro, the leaders in commercial cleaning and janitorial. If your workplace demands a clean environment, contact JanPro for a free, no obligation quote. Visit janpro.ca. You are listening to Canuck Central.
Hey, it's Vic Nizar. Have your say and join me on The People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
back on Canuck Central. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. Canuck Central is for Ensign Pacific, Vancouver's premier Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, and Jeep superstore on 2nd Avenue between Cambie and Main, or at ensignpacificchrysler.ca. And we're in the Kintec studio, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? It's Kintec. A couple of great texts came in thinking about the yeah. executive comment that we read. Anonymous executive, Rager texts in, Alvin trying to motivate his team again. Master motivator.
Yeah, that's not a bad one.
Another one, I think that was Jim Rutherford's tweet, just so he could get the Canucks riled up. So the Canucks fans think their front office is anonymously cutting up their team so that they get some whiteboard material.
And honestly, I love it. Like, I think it's great. Like, I think it's great that people outside of Vancouver are counting out the Canucks. It's great fodder for them too, to be like, hey, you know what? Nobody's betting on us to win. Nolan in Port Moody says, "Let there be naysayers. If we got nobody believing in the Canucks, then that should make the pressure less, not more."
So it's it's going to be interesting to see how this goes. Another says, Canucks in four, you cowards.
Yeah, I like that. Nuck in the six also is going bold, has a Canucks sweeping the Nashville Predators. I mean, I got five. I think five's pretty bold, but that's okay.
Sweeps are just so difficult. I don't even know if we'll see a sweep in the Rangers-Capitals series.
I don't know.
Sash is
talk about it a second.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
Caps are not good, even though I picked them to make the playoffs.
At least they made the playoffs. Hey, I didn't say they're going to do anything in the playoffs. All I said was they're getting to the playoffs.
Well, you were correct on that. All right. So let's get into our playoff preview and predictions. We'll start in the Western Conference. The one seed, the Dallas Stars, taking on the Vegas Golden Knights, as both Vegas and L.A. were deciding, well, who really wants to win this final game of the season? L.A. came back to win in overtime to finish third in the Pacific. Vegas lost 4-1 to the Ducks and finish in the second wild card. Their prize is facing the Dallas Stars. Like, the idea of, like, them tanking in order to face Dallas rather than Edmonton, like, I don't know. I'd at least... As vaunted as Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are, like, I'd still say playing Edmonton is the easier task than Dallas. Maybe I'm just too bullish on Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad take based on how the season has gone. And, I mean, Dallas, too, what an incredible campaign for them is here. Now you get to play the Vegas Golden Knights, who traded for Hertl, Hanifin. It looked like Mark Stone's going to be back for game one, too, at least based on everything we've seen with his availability and getting back to practicing with the team. So, man, like... I think Dallas is the most complete team in the league overall. I don't know if their high end matches the absolute high end of Vegas. Like, I think defensively, they have the best defenseman in the series. Heiskanen is incredible. Now, I think Pietrangelo, Hanifin, and the depth they have on the blue line for Vegas might be, when they're healthy, slightly better than Dallas. But I think they have the best defenseman. The best forward, though, in this series belongs to the Vegas Golden Knights. The second best forward, you can make an argument, also belongs to the Vegas Golden Knights. And I think Jason Robertson is incredible. I think Rupe Hintz is fantastic. But if I had to choose the two best forwards when healthy, probably Mark Stone and Jack Eichel. So, man, like, I don't want to pick Vegas to win, but if we're looking at upsets, and here's an 8 seed playing a 1 seed, isn't this one of the easy ones to pick so you get one of your upsets out of the way?
Yeah. It feels as though, like, this one wouldn't be considered as big of an upset as, say, like, the Islanders over Carolina, but yeah, it's still an 8 seed over a 1 seed. You know, and Vegas, we've talked about this so much with Vegas. You know, they've kind of been really mediocre going all the way back to December. Now, I know there's a lot of injuries, and they added a couple of big pieces at the deadline, so it changes the conversation a little bit. Does it all come together here in this first round? Like, I think Dallas just has too many things going for them, so I'm still picking Dallas, but I'm picking Dallas in six.
All right, so I'm going with the Vegas Golden Knights in six.
Woo!
Yeah.
Spicy. For as much as we've talked about Dallas this year...
I know. I mean, I would have probably picked them if they played anybody but Vegas in the first round, man.
Anybody but Vegas. All right. Josh, you got a pick here, or?
Stars and six.
All right. Stars and six for producer Josh Elliott-Wolf. Edmonton and the LA Kings. It feels like for as much as we talk about Leafs, Bruins always meeting up with each other, I mean, Edmonton and LA is just, it seems like a foregone conclusion every single season now.
So, see, unlike that coward executive who was anonymous in the Athletic article, I'm not quite as scared of the LA Kings. Like, I know some people don't want the Canucks to play the Kings, how the Kings have had the Canucks number and everything, but they do not worry me, not even in the slightest. Like, I think that team is complete fugazi. I don't think the LA Kings stand much of a chance against the Oilers.
Yeah, Oilers are too good. I'm taking Oilers actually in five in this one. Like, Oilers have everything going for them. It really, the only thing I can see maybe happening is Stuart Skinner sinking them in a series. And even that, I don't know if LA's good enough to really take advantage of that here in this series.
I mean, the goalie they're going up against is Cam Talbot. Like, yeah. Is Cam Talbot any better than Stuart Skinner?
No, he's not.
No, like, not even close.
Yeah.
And Cam Talbot once played for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, and he actually had a decent year for them the year they made the playoffs and got through a couple rounds back in 2017 or whatever it was. But, like, it's one of those things where I'm just not overly fascinated. I'm overly enamored with how the LA Kings have played. And I think their 1-3-1 is so passive. And I think defensively, they're not even as good as people make them out to be in their own zone at times. And their goaltending is average. They don't generate nearly enough offense. Like, this is not the 2012 LA Kings. I keep hearing, like, oh, they remind me of the 2012 Kings. Did you watch the 2012 Kings? Did you see how they used to grind teams in the offensive zone, man? Like, that team generated scoring chances. They punch you in the face. They made life difficult for you in the neutral zone. They were great defensively. This LA Kings team is nothing like that 2012 LA Kings team. Nothing.
And this series will show that. So how many games do you think Edmonton takes?
I got them in 5-2.
All right.
I'm going Oilers in seven.
I feel like
LA just grinds out some ugly wins. And by the end, we're like, Edmonton definitely deserved to win the series, but it took seven games.
All right. So there's your selections for Edmonton and the LA Kings. Final series in the West, it's the Colorado Avalanche against the Winnipeg Jets. Winnipeg having home ice advantage in this one between the 2 and 3 seeds out of the Central. This one's really tight, you know, and it could be sneakily one of the better series to watch here in this first round, because Winnipeg's a really good team. You know, they showed for much of the season that they've got a really strong defensive acumen as a team for all of, you know, I know Murph talked to Rick Bonus yesterday, and they played that in interview during the second intermission, and Bonus said, you know, like, I felt we needed the tough love after our playoff loss last year, and the team really came around. It was some tough love, but guys didn't like to hear it. But in the end, I think it's made us a better team for this year. And I 100% agree with that. Very similar to how Rick Tocchet got a lot of buy-in away from the puck. I think Rick Bonus has done that with Winnipeg. And this is going to be a really close series. But it's hard to beat Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar. So I got Colorado in seven.
Yeah, and the thing about the Jets, too, like, they do have some firepower, but they're not nearly as physical as their size kind of suggests. And I think that as much as they defend fairly well, I think there are areas of their game that can be exploited. And I think the overall speed and pace that Colorado can have can create a lot of problems for them. So I understand everything people are saying about the Jets, and I'd love to see them perhaps beat the Colorado Avalanche, but I just don't know if they're going to be able to knock off MacKinnon and Makar, especially after those guys struggled against the Seattle Kraken last year. There's going to be a lot of motivation to not go out in the first round this time for the Colorado Avalanche.
How many games?
I got the Avs winning in six.
All right. Avs in six. I got them in seven. Josh?
Avs in four.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Big sweep. I just feel like Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar, they're going to run stuff in Winnipeg, and it's going to be too much. I don't think they have an answer for them.
That's a pretty bold call. I like it. I like bold calls. All right. In the Eastern Conference, let's start with Boston and Toronto, the 2-3 in the Atlantic Division. Boston with home ice advantage for this series. We've seen this series in the past, not so much recently, but obviously, I mean, we get so much Leaf content. We know Leaf fans are scared about playing the Bruins.
Yes.
But I think if there's ever a year to play the Bruins, it would certainly be this one. For as much as they've been a really good regular season team, I think they started to show their cracks towards the end of the year. And in a playoff series, I think they'll miss not having Patrice Bergeron in a playoff series more so than they were able to mask it during the regular season. I think, you know, Leafs might be considered a dog in this series, but it should be, I think it's going to be a pretty close series.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. So I've been going back and forth on it. Like, my natural inclination has been, hey, the Boston Bruins, they always seem to beat the Toronto Maple Leafs, had the far better regular season squad, and they've had back-to-back years with the success they've had. They bailed out in the first round last year. There'd be lots of motivation. But in the playoffs, you really look at their top-end players. And you can make the case that the best offensive player in the series is David Pastrnak. However, the way Austin Matthews scores goals, you wouldn't be wrong saying he's the best offensive player. But once you get past Pastrnak, like, Brad Marchand is still really good. He's not the same Brad Marchand he was a few years ago. Does he elevate in the playoffs, perhaps? Like, he's older now, right? Like, he's still really good, but it's not the same prime guy who was one of the top five or six wingers, left wingers in the National Hockey League. Like, he's not quite there with his overall game, I don't think. So I think the overall forward edge goes to the Toronto Maple Leafs. The defense clearly is a Bruins advantage, and so is the goaltending. But are they so strong that it's a huge advantage over Toronto? Goaltending it is. Goaltending for sure is a massive advantage. Is the defense as big an advantage?
I think the goaltending has to steal the series for the Bruins. Like that to me, that's the way that it's got to happen. And that's a tough thing to sort of gauge. But I like the way the Leafs finished the season for the most part. I think they have a lot more snarl to them than they've shown in past years. So I think the addition of guys like Bertuzzi and some of those things, while it didn't look good early in the year, he found himself going on later on. So I don't think the Bruins have enough high end to win this series. I think the Leafs finally get over the hump of the Bruins. I don't think it's going to be a long run for the Leafs, but I think they beat the Bruins here in seven games.
Yeah, so I've gone back and forth on this. I'm going with the Leafs in seven as well.
Woo!
Yeah, I wanted to pick the Bruins. I mean, I don't like the Bruins all that much anyways, but like I've really gone back and forth on this, and at last minute I'm making the change, going Leafs in seven.
Which of the two evils do you want to choose from? That's the way this series is.
Well, the one thing I will say, at least when there are more Canadian teams going past the first round, it's good for the Rogers brand.
Yes.
So I'll say that.
And the stocks.
Yes.
And
exactly. That's what I'm saying.
What
stocks? What stocks?
Josh?
Leafs in seven.
Oh, we all got Leafs in seven. Surely this will be the wrongest take we ever had.
Everybody's manifesting the stock prices to go up next month.
Man, could use a few shares to be sold to make some money for the summer. What did I say? Wife's birthday's coming up. What? all right, Florida and Tampa Bay. Let's go to this series, the Battle of Florida, and it should be a barn burner. I'm really excited to watch this series. It begins on Sunday, and the Lightning came on at the end of the year, but they were very mid for a lot of the season. Some of it, though, was Andre Vasilevsky after a pretty invasive surgery that, you know, delayed his start to the season, and he took some time to get going. Vasi was great towards the end of the year, and
he found his game,
and they started to click. As much as I like Florida, I don't see this as the layup I might have seen it as 2 months ago.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I'm not too concerned about late season trends or whatever, and I think the Florida Panthers are a really good hockey team, but every time I watch them, and they do a lot of things really well, I'm not sure their individual defenders have been quite as good as the overall makeup of the team does suggest. Like, I see Ekblad at times. Now, he's been really good, but he has some moments. Montour has some moments at that time. I mean, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, he did a fantastic job stepping in, playing bigger minutes earlier this season. But you see him along the boards in certain situations. He still loses a lot of map battles. I don't know if they're as good as their overall record truly indicated. And they are the better team than Tampa Bay Lightning. But I just don't feel very comfortable picking the Panthers to win this series. Kucherov's been going, dude, like, Kucherov's been an absolute monster. Braden Point has 46 goals. Stamkos has 40 goals. Hedman's been an absolute monster in his own end as well. And Vasilevsky's clearly the best goalie in the series if he's on his game.
Well, and Florida is the most penalized team in the league.
Yeah.
Like, you can't give Stamkos and Kucherov and Braden Point too many opportunities on the power play. Like, that could really be an Achilles heel for them in this series.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something that could really cause problems for them. So I'm going with the Tampa Bay Lightning in seven.
Whoo! As much as I've been tempted by the Lightning, I'm still picking Florida. Florida in six for me. They still have too much good things happening at the top of their lineup for this to be a one and done for the first place in the Atlantic Division.
I'm Panthers in seven.
All right. So that's that. And two more series to go. We only got a couple of minutes to do it, but shouldn't have to spend too much time on Carolina and the New York Islanders. Does Bo Horvat and Matt Barzal and company have an upset in store against the Carolina Hurricanes?
Not an upset, but I do think UC Soros and just how pesky that that Islanders can be, team can be at time. I think they'll be annoying. They'll win two games, but ultimately go out in six.
So the Islanders, like the way they finished, what are they only dropped like 1 point in all of April, or one game in all of April.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. I like the way they finished the season. But yeah, this team is not nearly as good as Carolina. Carolina finally made the big plays at the deadline. I think it's had the desired effect getting Jake Guentzel over there. So I don't see them losing this series. They're too good, too well-rounded. Not the series that you would pick an upset in. Carolina in six for me.
I'm going sweep Carolina in four.
Mm. Ah, nice.
And final series, New York Rangers. The New York Rangers and the Washington Capitals. Does Alex Ovechkin have a surprise up his sleeve? Is he going to score 30 goals in this first round series?
He might score a few goals. I'm not sure it's going to be enough for them to win a single game. So not every single first round has a sweep, but there usually is a sweep. So I'm going to have one sweep pick, and it's going to be the Rangers sweeping the Capitals.
All right. Well, you did have the Canucks to sweep as well.
No, five. Canucks and five.
Oh, you had Canucks and five. Sorry.
People were texting in and saying,
yes,
we're cowards for not picking them to sweep.
That's right. Josh had the Canucks in four, no?
No, I had Canucks in five. Oh, I had Avs in
four. It's the NHL thing that had the Canucks in four. Sorry, I was getting all mixed up.
EA Sports. Yes.
It's in the game.
It's in the game. I don't know. Like, this might be the most lopsided series on paper that we've seen in the Stanley Cup playoffs for a while.
Yeah, I mean, so defensively, the Capitals have been pretty atrocious for much of the season. Their goal differential is really bad. They've been getting, they either get blown out or win close games.
Yeah.
That's kind of been their season in a nutshell. And I'm just not sure that they have enough to squeeze out more than maybe. I can see them winning a game or something, right? It can happen. I picked them to get swept, but I can see them winning a game. I just don't see enough there for them to win two or three games in this series.
Penguins would have been a much more formidable opponent. I'll say Rangers in five for this series.
That's where I'm going. Rangers in five.
All right, so there is your first round predictions from us here on Canucks Central. We'll have lots more to get into. Yannick Hansen, who's going to join us for pre-games on all of our playoff games here on Sportsnet 650. He's our Friday analyst and will join us next here on Canucks Central. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah on Sportsnet 650.